Please stay tuned to the end of this episode to hear a trailer of our friend Bernadette's show, Murderific, a true crime podcast with topics ranging from serial and mass killers to missing persons and unsolved homicides. Now on to the show.
The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Is dedicating all resources available to helping us find the people that are responsible.
Evil has occurred. I still cannot understand why someone would want to take the lives of two children.
Four miles northwest of downtown Houston, along U.S. Highway 290, sits an unincorporated community called Cypress. Once a rural area, large-scale residential and commercial development, starting in the 1980s, transformed Cypress into one of Houston's largest and highest-income suburban communities. As the area grew and the demand for housing rose, home builders kept pace by developing master-planned communities. One of those communities is called Coles Crossing. It prides itself as a premier community due to offerings of amenities, schools, shopping, and green spaces. Established in 1998, Coles Crossing today has about 2,600 homes, ranging in price from $250,000 up to as high as $900,000. Residents describe the neighborhood as safe, peaceful, and pristine. Within the community, on Foster's Creek Drive, sits a two-story, single-family brick home. The lawn is mowed regularly by the Homeowners Association. The automatic lights switch on every night. From the outside, there is no sign of the horrible events that took place in the home in January of 2014 when the entire Soon family was found murdered in their beds. 50-year-old Mao Yi and 49-year-old Mei Xie were naturalized U.S. citizens who immigrated from China. They married in Harris County in the year 2000, and a year after that bought their home in Coles Crossing. The family reportedly spoke Mandarin Chinese at home, and on Saturdays, Mao Yi and Mei Xie's boys, 9-year-old Timothy and 7-year-old Titus, attended Chinese school. During the week, though, they kept busy with typical American suburban youth activities. They swam on the community swim team. They played in a local soccer league, took piano lessons, and went to karate classes. And they were active in the local Cub Scouts. A neighbor said she thought Mei Xie wanted Timothy and Titus to have a mix of the two cultures, to be American children, but to hold on to the family's Chinese traditions. The boys' soccer coach described Mei Xie as nice and reserved, adding that she made sure her sons never missed a practice or game, that she always came and supported them. While Mei Xie took care of the home and the children, Mao Yi Soon worked. He had a doctorate from the University of Texas at Austin in engineering and mechanics, and worked as an analyst for Cameron International, an oil-field equipment manufacturer. Mao Yi's supervisor and co-workers told the media that Mao Yi was a brilliant employee and an overall truly great guy. They said he was well-respected, a great learner and researcher, dependable, easygoing, and patient. His supervisor said, quote, You could see the joy on his face when he was solving complex problems. On Thursday, January 23, 2014, Timothy and Titus attended school at Sampson Elementary, just down the street from the family's home. The last day, their friends and classmates would see them alive. The following day, Friday the 24th, schools in the district, including Sampson Elementary, were closed due to inclement weather, so the boys stayed home. Even though the weather was poor, their father, Mao Ye Soon, made his way into work that day. He was last seen leaving Cameron International at 7 p.m. His wife, Mei Xie Soon, was last heard from about 2 hours later when she made a phone call at about 9:15 p.m. Timothy and Titus were avid Boy Scouts and were expected to attend a scout meeting at 11 a.m. the next day, Saturday, January 25th, but they never arrived. When Timothy and Titus didn't show up for their scout meeting over the weekend, one could imagine that their fellow scouts assumed something else had come up and that it never crossed their minds that a tragedy had taken place. However, when the work week came and Mao Ye Soon didn't show up or attempt to make contact with his colleagues for days, they became concerned. By Thursday, January 30th, 2014, they were worried enough to contact the police, and deputies went to the family's home at about 7:30 p.m. to conduct a welfare check. Upon searching the exterior of the well-manicured two-story brick home, deputies found the back door open and entered the home. Once inside, they discovered what they described as a horrific crime scene, one that stretched from bedroom to bedroom. All four Soon family members were found slain in their beds. Deputies bordered the home with crime scene tape, and the Harris County Sheriff's Department took charge of the case. Initially, upon learning that the entire family was deceased in the home, including the two young boys, neighbors assumed that the tragic incident was a murder-suicide. By the following Monday, however, their sadness turned to shock and fear when the Harris County Medical Examiner ruled that all four deaths were homicides. Each family member had died as the result of a gunshot wound to the head, and the oldest boy, Timothy, had also been shot in the torso. A neighbor of the Soon family was quoted in the Houston Chronicle saying, "The first scenario was tragic, but it wasn't something that was going to impact my family. This new scenario, obviously, makes a person wonder, could this have happened to me? I hope they find the person who did it and bring some closure to this situation. The mystery is the most disconcerting part of it." Days after the discovery of the bodies of the Soon family, the questions of concerned neighbors only grew, and law enforcement provided few answers. The Harris County Sheriff's Office released a short statement saying only that investigations of this type of case are complicated and lengthy. They added that they would not release any details at the time to preserve the integrity of the investigation. In fact, even though newspapers were already reporting the names of the Soon family, the sheriff's office didn't officially release the names of the victims for days while they worked to track down and notify next of kin. It took them more time than is typical in such cases because the Soon family had no relatives living in the United States. All their relatives were living in China, so law enforcement had to work with the Chinese consulate to locate and notify them. On February 4th, 2014, 5 days after the bodies of the Soon family were discovered, the Harris County Sheriff's Office held a press conference. Sergeant Felipe Rivera called the case baffling, and Sheriff Adrian Garcia said, quote, "We have no other information that will speak to a motive as to why this occurred. From all indications, they were a quiet family. They were the average family. I am bothered by the loss of life of two children." And that's exactly what the Soon family were. an average, hard-working American family who were known as honest, friendly, and active in the school and community. While investigators themselves struggled to understand why anyone would execute them all, particularly two young children, they did provide a few additional details on what took place that night at the press conference. Sergeant Rivera said that investigators had found signs of forced entry, including the open back door authorities entered the home through and a broken window. But he added that it was unclear at the time if the shattered window was recent damage. He didn't know if the damage to that window was connected to the shootings at all, and that it may have been broken prior to the slayings of the Soons, the detective later said. During the press conference, Sergeant Rivera stated that the victims had not been tied up, and detectives had not determined yet if anything had been taken from the home. Sheriff Garcia added that they did not know what type of gun was used in the killings, and that the caliber of bullets had not yet been determined. No weapon was found on the scene, and neighbors hadn't heard any gunshots, causing some to question if the killer was a trained hitman who used a silencer. The mystery behind the murders made for great headlines, and of course, the media jumped all over it, publishing daily stories. Some in the neighborhood blamed them for sensationalizing the killing of the Soons, while others just sought better communication from law enforcement on what happened. But law enforcement admitted that they just didn't have a lot of information to go on. Because of these final sightings or activity of each of the family members, particularly Mao Ye's last sighting leaving work at about 7 p.m., May Sia's phone call at around 9:15 p.m., both on the evening of the 24th, and Timothy and Titus not making the Boy Scouts meeting at 11 the following morning, investigators were able to narrow down the time of the murders to between Friday evening and Saturday morning. With few leads, the sheriff's office made a plea for help from the public, saying, quote, "It's not an everyday occurrence, and obviously this is a great concern for us. We want the public to rack their brains and provide us any bit of information they can." When the crime scene tape came down, it was immediately replaced by flowers, balloons, and stuffed animals on the home's front porch. The Soon family had no known relatives in the U.S., but friends, co-workers, schoolmates, neighbors, and especially the Chinese community in Houston showed up to push for answers and grieve, and to memorialize the victims they knew as a kind, hard-working, and happy family. By early February 2014, a few weeks after the entire Soon family was found murdered in their home from gunshots to the head, and in the case of the oldest child, Timothy, another shot to the chest, reports stated that the siblings of Mao Ye and Mei Xie Soon had been notified and that they planned to travel to the United States to officially identify the bodies and attend a memorial service and vigil in Houston. Cameron International, the company where Mao Ye Soon worked, along with the Houston Chinese Alliance, raised funds to offer a reward for information and to pay for the expenses of Soon family relatives to travel from China to Houston. On Wednesday, February 8, 2014, 2 weeks after the family was killed, hundreds of people gathered in Coles Crossing for a candlelight vigil to remember the family. The vigil was organized by the Houston Chinese Alliance, and a majority of those in attendance were from the large Chinese American community in Houston, estimated to number in the hundreds of thousands. The unsolved murders hit the local Chinese community especially hard. One woman stated that she was too afraid to attend the vigil, and that when her father back in China saw a segment about the murders on his local Chinese television station, where the story had become headline news, he was concerned for her safety and reminded her to always lock her doors and windows. Those who did attend the vigil expressed similar sentiments. One young man told the media that after his parents learned of the killings, they asked him to move back to China as soon as possible. During the hour-long vigil, Harris County Sheriff Adrian Garcia addressed the crowd, assuring those in attendance that the department was doing all they could to find out who was responsible and to get justice for the family. He said, quote, "My office is dedicating all resources available to help find those responsible. I'm asking for your support to communicate about the circumstances surrounding this crime." Community leaders also spoke, urging anyone who may have helpful information to come forward. Many of those in attendance wept as a moment of silence was observed. As the memorial wrapped up, the crowd began marching towards the Soon family home, where they would leave flowers, candles, photos, and notes, some in English and some in Chinese. A woman who laid a photograph among the flowers showing the Soons posing with Santa during Christmas time, all with ear-to-ear smiles except Titus, who quite frankly looks horrified, told the Houston Chronicle that she wondered how this could happen to such good people. Too fearful to provide her actual name, she asked the newspaper, only to be identified as Mrs. Chu. She added that she was considering buying a gun for protection, and she wasn't alone in that thought. An article was released by the South China Morning Post a few days before the vigil, titled, "Rush for Guns as Houston's Chinese Community is Spooked by Murder of Family." The article described how some in the community had grown anxious to protect themselves, as no apparent motive for the killings had been revealed. One man told the Post, quote, "The killer's motive worries me, since my family shares so many similarities with theirs." The fears of the Chinese community were only heightened when, about a week after the Soon family vigil, on February 19, 2014, the body of Grace Chen, a Chinese-American woman, was discovered near the Chinese language and culture school she founded and owned with her husband in Austin. Her murder was another shock to the Asian American community in Texas, who were still reeling from the Soon family murders. Grace Chen was a beloved mother, wife, teacher, friend, and artist. Her body was found at 3:30 p.m. on the second floor of the shopping complex where her school was located. Evidence suggested that she had been killed 2 hours earlier. Grace was found by her husband, her body slumped over in a bathroom stall that was reportedly only accessible to employees. Law enforcement said that the cause of death was asphyxiation, but they have not commented further on that and would not confirm whether or not it was a strangulation. Fear and anxiety justifiably grew that these were targeted attacks, hate crimes against Asian Americans. Amy Mao, the president of the Asian American Culture Center in Northwest Austin, expressed the community's concerns to the media, saying, quote, "It's just too close. Not just proximity, it is because we look alike. A poignant reminder of the unfortunate lack of cross-cultural attentiveness and prevalence of own race bias." On February 26, 2014, members of the Asian American Cultural Center and others from the community met with Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo to express their collective fear in regards to both Grace Chen's and the Soon family murders. Chief Acevedo tried to alleviate those fears when he told the local media, "I can tell you that we have worked very closely with the Houston Police Department to ascertain and assess if there is in fact a connection, and there is no connection between the homicides." Like the Soon family murders, the murder of Grace Chen remains unsolved, and no one has been arrested for the killing to this day. However, police have stated that they have some persons of interest, including Grace's husband, Richard. Richard was arrested and sentenced to a federal prison for 2 months, about a year after Grace's death, for stealing about $100,000 worth of art from a New York art company he had previously worked for. Police told reporters from the Austin American-Statesman newspaper in 2017 that they were unable to confirm the current whereabouts of Richard and that he had not been eliminated as a suspect. Detectives have also reported that they have collected DNA evidence from the crime scene, but as of yet have no match. It's not clear if they tested this DNA against Richard's or if they have even located him since the 2017 report. A recent article on Grace's murder states that, among others, Richard is still considered a suspect. Grace's son now lives in California, and he told reporters that his mother is the most important person in his life. He said, "It's been 4 years, and I miss her every day." Although a connection between the two murders seems unlikely, both share a grim commonality. Both remain unsolved and have gone cold, despite increased efforts by police to solve the murders. Not long after the slayings in 2014, they announced that the reward for information about who is responsible for the murders of the entire Soon family had increased to $70,000, and 4 digital billboards had been donated in the Cypress area to help publicize the reward. Law enforcement also announced that the FBI had begun helping with the investigation. At a press conference 6 months after the murders, though, investigators still seemed mystified, unable or unwilling to provide further details on what had occurred. Sheriff Garcia made a passionate plea toward the killer. He said, "There's something evil, something horrible, when someone has it in them to murder 2 innocent children. I hope you are in such pain and agony that you will be willing to turn yourself in, because it's only a matter of time before we arrest you." To the surprise of everyone, reports of a confession to the murders would soon emerge. In May of 2015, the Epoch Times published an article stating that a Chinese language news website reported that a Communist Party member who was being investigated on corruption charges had confessed to ordering the execution of the Soon family while he was being interrogated in detention. That man is named Chow Yongkang. Yongkang began his career as a technician in an oil field and steadily rose up through the ranks of China's oil and gas industry, as well as the Communist Party of China, which he joined in 1964. At the height of his career, he was the 3rd most powerful politician in China, overseeing the country's security and law enforcement institutions, including the courts, intelligence networks, police and paramilitary forces, and prosecution agencies. Ironically, the leader of law and order was illegally using his high-powered position to accumulate enormous wealth for himself and his family. As the news of the investigation became public, Yongkang, who had since retired from his position, was expelled from the Communist Party. After an initial escape to the United States, he returned to China following negotiations with Chinese authorities and was placed under arrest in December of 2013 for alleged abuse of power and corruption. By April 2014, state prosecutors revealed he had been formally charged with accepting bribes, abuse of power, and leaking state secrets. Yongkang would eventually be sentenced to life in prison and is the most senior official to ever face corruption charges in the history of China. There's a lot more to the story of Chow Yongkang, but what's important for our sake is why a Chinese newspaper would have reported that he confessed to ordering the hit on the Soon family. In its article, the Epoch Times outlined the allegations. They stated that, according to the Chinese news outlet, Mao Ye Soon was a former employee of the China National Petroleum Corporation, which is owned by the state of China. They added that this is where Mao Ye became aware of Yongkang's illegal activities. Mao Ye reportedly helped the company purchase oil wells and oil extraction equipment in the United States, two areas where Yongkang was able to skim off money for himself. Mao Ye reportedly also helped manage Yongkang's assets in the U.S. and handled some classified documents. The Chinese news site claimed that Yongkang ordered that the Soon family be killed to eliminate incriminating evidence against him. However, the Epoch Times states that the theory cannot be confirmed and that the news site that reported it has a mixed record. There are other reasons to be suspicious of their theory. First of all, it has been reported nowhere else. Additionally, there are no other reports of Yongkang ordering the killing of those who knew of his illegal activities, at least not that we could find. However, while searching, we did come across an article from The Telegraph entitled, "Did Chow Yongkang Murder His First Wife?" The article outlines how Yongkang's first wife died in a car crash not long after their divorce. Chinese media had previously been censored from speaking about Yongkang, but since his arrest, that censorship was lifted, and the media has now unleashed extensive coverage, including some from Chinese websites that circulate in gossip and rumors. The Telegraph reporter interviewed several people who threw cold water on the theory that Yongkang murdered his wife. One senior Chinese investigative journalist he interviewed said, quote, "The readers tend to enjoy the stories as they would enjoy a novel. They do not really take it seriously, and you can never tell how much of it's true. Some people in the government may be happy to see the information released, but it is hard to say whether the government is ordering the publication." He noted that the government sometimes leaks information to smear individuals they are trying to take down, and that gossip implicating former party leaders in the slayings of their wives is quite common. Perhaps both theories, that Yongkang killed his first wife and that he ordered the killing of the Soon family, are just that, gossip. Yongkang was arrested in December of 2013 and formally charged in April of 2014. The Soon family was killed in late January of 2014. The timeline doesn't precisely match up. The government had already gathered enough evidence to arrest Yongkang, and he was being held in detention when the Soon family was killed. There's a possibility that he could have still ordered the killing, but it seems unlikely. At his sentencing, Yongkang was shown on Chinese television, bowing his head and confessing his crimes. The theory that he ordered the hit of the Soon family also suggests that he made a confession, yet no arrests have been made in relation to the murders. They remain unsolved. Mao Ye, Mei Xia, Timothy, and Titus Soon are still very much missed by their friends and family. Cub Scout Pack 1179, the one which Timothy and Titus belonged to, planted two trees in memory of the boys. Beneath each, a memorial stone reads, "In loving memory, always in our hearts." Over a year after their murders, the Toyota Corolla sedan and the Toyota Sienna minivan the Soons owned sat still parked in their driveway. A family friend occasionally drove the cars around the block to keep them in running condition. The yard was regularly mowed by the homeowners association, and the automatic lights turned on every night, making it feel as if they were still in there, like nothing really happened. And that's how the neighborhood wanted it. They said they wanted to keep the home the way the Soon family liked it. It sat empty for years and only recently was sold, just a few months ago, in fact, in February of 2019, perhaps to a new family who will fill it with the kind of love and joyful life that was taken from the Soon family much too soon. At a press conference a little over a year after the Soon family were slain in their home, after Harris County Sheriff Adrian Garcia announced the large reward, he looked out into the press gathered around him, who were hanging on his every word in the hope that he'd offer a punchy soundbite. Sheriff Garcia didn't disappoint them. "I want you to remember that you killed two children," he said. "I want that to burn in your brain. I want it to give you a heart condition. I want it to give you ulcers." If you have any information about the Soon family murders, please contact the Harris County Sheriff's Office Homicide Division at 713-967-5810 or Texas Crime Stoppers by calling 713-222-TIPS. That's 713-222-8477. You can remain completely anonymous. Don't forget to stick around to the end to hear a trailer for the podcast Murderific. If you're interested in more information on the Soon family murders, you can visit thetruecrimefiles.com for an amazing summary and great insight on the case. We always recommend thetruecrimefiles.com on our show. It's an amazing resource for learning about cases you might not be aware of otherwise. And we highly suggest that y'all check out the Soon family's case over there. The Houston Chronicle, the South China Morning Post, the Austin American Statesman, the Epoch Times, ABC 13 and NBC 2 Houston News, the Telegraph, and the Asian American News were used as sources for this episode. If you'd like to support Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/GoneColdPodcast. There are several varying donation levels to choose from, with perks to go along with each, including ad-free listening at all levels. Donations help us cover the costs of research and production, and we can't thank y'all enough for your support. Another great way to support the show is to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to the show. It helps guide more folks our way. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Check out the Murderific True Crime Podcast, hosted by Bernadette from the state of Maine. Topics will include some seriously true scary stories about serial killers, mass murderers, familicides, the missing, and unsolved cases. Go to www.murderific.com to start listening now, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Until then, we will be executing podcasts one crime at a time.